Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's get into this Egg Chasers Rugby podcast then. Hands in pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, the show about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And I called it show then. Sorry, you like program, don't you, JB?
We're going to have a big fallout about this.
Yeah, we don't take ourselves all the games too seriously. We're just three mates that love the game of rugby. That is me, Tim. That is JB.
Hello, Timothy.
That is Phil.
Hello, Tim.
The running order of our podcast was... leaked ahead of its official release.
Can't believe that.
But we're now all unanimously agree on our manifesto for this podcast.
It's a strong and stable podcast, isn't it?
It is indeed. We're talking European Cup final, Challenge Cup final, England training squad. We've got a brand new segment as we build up towards the British and Irish Lions tour to New Zealand called Hey, What's Happening, Bro? And as ever, we are campaigning hard for your five-star reviews. This review from catchy username, Review1234.
Oh, nice.
Is the reviewer.
Okay.
Who says, 5 stars. If you want a podcast which provides fashion advice, where not to buy rocks for your wife's rockery from, and a sprinkling of political conjecture, look no further. These three are an odd bunch. If you're like that guy at a pub who's a people pleaser, although gets slightly defensive when you question figures and agrees with everything, then Phil's your man. JB is the dad at a mini rugby on a Sunday morning heckling the ref, coaches and under five players.
That's a scandalous comment.
I find this particularly scandalous. Or, if you read the Daily Mail, you'll love Tim. Sober, he seems an inclusive guy. Give him a beer and he'll turn into your grandfather who remembers the good old days when inclusivity was the name of a ship from the US Civil War.
Yeah.
They also like touching JB's bell. So I wouldn't recommend a watch on Facebook Live. We are on Facebook Live. We're on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. And we're on Instagram and all the rest of it. And thank you for that five-star review. Leave yours. How did I get viewed as some kind of... I'm the lefty of this bunch.
Yeah, you used to be.
I am.
It's, you know, as they say, it's a continual circle from left to right, isn't it? Far left, far right, same things.
All right. So I thought as something to start off... we've been getting loads of tweets on this. Just leading into the Champions Cup final, Chris Ashton played his last European game for Saracens, not necessarily his last game for Saracens with the Avicii Premiership semi-final and maybe a final to come. Mm-hmm. But he signed off in Europe for Saracens by becoming the top try scorer in European Cup history. A much maligned figure, but potentially one that would make a love-to-hate team of mm-hmm. players, and potentially he would be the captain on the wing. Some amazing suggestions of players that would join Chris Ashton in a love-to-hate 15. So I'll just rattle through some of the names and you can chip in as well. Who would be the fullback, Mike Brown or Dellon Armitage? Because they were the two that came up again and again.
See, Dellon Armitage is just not very well liked. Not love-to-hate. You love-to-hate Mike Brown, but Dellon Armitage just is not liked.
You just hate him.
I don't personally. But, you know, if you read the press about him, you'd have thought, well... God knows what we'd have thought.
I love Mike Brown. So I'd go Dellon.
Dellon in the back three with Yoann Ouzé on the left wing. No complaints there.
But I love Ouzé. He's like one of my favourite players.
Ouzé.
Ouzé.
Centres, Big Gav.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And
have you snuck in a 15 here?
Hey?
Are you sneaking in?
I'm just going through some players.
Novelty 15. You know my thoughts on Novelty 15.
Brad Barrett got mentioned as well. Will Carling too. Brad Barrett, not because people would think he's not a good bloke, just because he was one of those guys that used to get so much stick when he was in an England shirt. Yeah.
We'll get onto him later.
Yes. We'll talk a lot about him.
Will Carling, Sippers at 10. Scrum half, there was a little bit of a gap, which I thought was bizarre.
Austin?
Oh, Austin Healey did get mentioned quite a bit. I'm just looking. Daffith Jones mentioned him. Into the pack, where there was a Callum Clark was an easy selection at 6.
I like Callum Clark, though. I think he's going to be... I think he'll be awesome next year.
We're talking love to hate.
Yeah.
We're not saying bad player.
Only
or
Rob Hawkins
bloke.
Hates him.
Yeah, that's true. And
everyone else seems to like him. I think
there's a lot of justified hate due to the Rob Hawkins incident.
It was a long time ago. Long time ago. Let that one pass.
Serge Betson got a few votes at 7.
What?
Yeah.
Serge is a legend.
Yeah, he is a legend.
I can't see that at all, actually.
McCaw could be in there.
Yeah, like if you're South African.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. People loved to hate Richie McCaw. Scout Burgers would have been on this a couple of years ago, but people now seem to really love him again.
He's like an elder statesman, isn't he?
Yeah.
In 2009.
Well, when he was gouging... Luke Fitzgerald on the floor. Yeah, I remember that. It's so hypocritical. They came out with like Justice for Backies or something, all over the shirts, or Justice for Five.
Go on.
Going to talk about the hypocrisy of Springbok rugby. And then they're rolling around on the floor 5 minutes in, and you can see Berger going for Luke Fitzgerald's eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And he only got a 2-week ban, 2-game ban, something like that.
If that.
Yeah, maybe even one. Maybe even not.
He didn't even get a card. And it was in the days of the video ref, too.
Yeah.
There was the second row, there was a bunch of suggestions. Pascal Pape gets in.
Pascal Pape, who's currently finishing his career with a ban for a red card.
Yeah.
Lad.
And then I almost think it's a. You should. Every proper second row that wants to wear a number 4 shirt should be potentially in this team.
Yeah, why is
otherwise
Martin
you're
Johnson?
Not doing your job right. Johnson could have been one. Danny Grucock could have been one. Backes Botha could have been one.
Gareth Archer. There's loads of lads.
All the great enforcers should be in this Love to Hate 15. You should hate
Charlie Matthews. Whoever's
And then Dylan Hartley obviously got the hooker spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I could go on with more, but we'll leave it there.
Now you've done a whole team.
Neil Back got some mentions as well.
What, post-playing? Because, never mind.
No. For his final. That's probably Munster fans that did that one. Anyway, Ben, Skip Hops on Twitter said, even Mike Brown's mum thinks he's an absolute one. I'm with Phil. I like Mike Brown.
Yeah, I've got no problems with Mike Brown.
Right, well, Chris Ashton signed off with Saracens in Europe, at least, with another title. We were talking while we were waiting for you, Phil, about Chris Ashton. Much maligned, should he have had more England caps in recent seasons? Has he been overlooked unnecessarily? David Strettle made some comments before the final that England's flair players are, if they played for other countries, they would get far more game time.
The Strettle comments reminded me of something that Mike Ford said a few years ago, which was England, and when he was involved with England often pick players not for what they can do, but more for what they can't do.
This was about Burgess, wasn't it?
He specifically referred to James Simpson Daniel. Who only got a handful. He's another great example alongside Strettle, alongside Ashton, alongside Christian Wade on the wing, who got a handful of caps because he was incredible going forward, but there were questions over his defence.
Can I throw in one? And you're going to laugh at me now. One who I think should have got a cap, never did. Incredibly talented. And it doesn't feel like this now, but when he first arrived, definitely. Ryan Lamb, incredibly talented. I do believe if he was a different nationality, he would have got a cap at some point.
Did he never get capped?
Never got capped.
Because it was always kind of him and Shane Geraghty.
Yeah.
Were like when they came onto the scene at a similar time, didn't they?
Well, yeah, it was Geraghty, Lamb, but there's someone else alongside Geraghty. It might be. Do you know what? Geraghty might even be Flood's age. It might have been Geraghty and Flood that were like the future.
Yeah. Yeah, they were similar. Yeah.
Yeah, so Ryan Lamb. Should I think of some more flary players?
Yeah, I'd rather talk about the ones that Ryan Lamb could have got a cap, could have got more caps, but really...
No, a cap.
A cap, yeah, but I mean...
A cap in the A team would be nice. I'm pretty sure he hasn't even played A's.
But where do you stand on Ashton? I mean, we talk about the positives, but it has just been pointed out on our Facebook live feed. Ian Petty says Ashton was also responsible for Claremont's first try. He missed a tackle.
No, I don't believe this. I actually think it was Farrell that was in the wrong here.
Ashton bit in,
but it was Farrell that got handed off.
No, the first try.
Oh, hang on.
Ashton, don't you talk about Owen like that.
Yeah. Ashton missed a tackle on Ruggeri for the first time. Brad Barrett brought him down, yeah. But then 2 seconds later...
And David Molyneux has also got in touch on our Facebook live feed and said, Ashton's first splash cost 2 points. He could easily have run nearer the post.
That's a very good point, actually. Astute analysis.
That is a good point, yeah. And there was a time when it was... Well, 17, 18 late in the game, and you're thinking, a penalty now, and it goes the other way.
Well, it needed Farrell to nail that difficult penalty to put the mate clear.
Yeah.
So, you've just mentioned Ashton as the most maligned player, but at least he's got some caps, and he's got a damn sight more caps than some players that I'm about to mention. So, I'm going to put Ashton into the category of one of the most underrated players of a generation. With one in particular, Richard Wigglesworth, who was phenomenal and has been phenomenal all season, maybe even for 2 seasons, maybe even 3. Wigglesworth, Barrett, Goode. In fact, everyone in that back line, every one of them is completely underrated. Which one of them gets into a Premiership 15 other than maybe Farrell?
Maybe Farrell. Probably none of them. Goode, the way he played... yesterday, he should be in there.
He was class, wasn't he? He's so good.
Yeah.
I've said it so many times. He is the most well-rounded, complete rugby player in England.
It's really hard to know how much context plays a role, as in they're playing in Saracens. They're playing for Saracens.
Yeah. If they're all average, and they're not
I'm not saying average, but I'm just saying when you... It can be fine margins. You could pluck a player from another club... Put them within Saracens. Like, I'm not saying like, immediately, but I'm saying like if
like
they...
Duncan Taylor from London Scottish.
Well, that's kind of my point.
Yeah,
that's my point.
Good point. It's perfectly valid.
When you put them into that Saracens team,
where was Marcelo Bosch from? I've got a feeling he either came from France or was in another Premiership club.
Good question.
Don't know.
I can't remember.
Brad Barrett was plucked from South Africa. I mean, these are not particularly big names when they first arrived.
No.
I mean, how did they know Wigglesworth was any good? How did they know that? Because they didn't in Sale.
Well, Sale couldn't figure it out. It's like when Foden left Sale or Luther Burrell left Sale.
Yeah, Luther was the Foden biggest...
I'm going to defend Sale on the Foden one. Foden wanted to play scrum half.
He did want to play
and Sale half. Wouldn't play him scrum half. They said, we think you're a fullback. So he went to Northampton to play scrum half. They played him fullback.
Yeah. That's fair enough. So, yeah, I mean, this victory for Saracens was incredible. And let's just stick with the backs again. Did it feel like they just ran that same out-the-back move over and over and over again until finally it came off?
Well, they ran it first time.
It worked perfectly.
And it worked for the Ashton try, it worked. And then they ran it about another half dozen times, but Ruggeri seemed to have... and the wingers seemed
Saracens
to have livened up.
Played really well, comfortably won in the end, and butchered a load of... Like, uncharacteristically, left a lot of opportunities out on the pitch.
They did. And that sort of worried me a bit because, when you're watching a game and one team's all possession, they're completely dominant. Well, Saracens were sort of heading towards that territory, but without getting the corresponding points.
Yeah. Yeah. You say they played well, and they did play well against a tremendous Claremont team. I think they'll be disappointed with that. I think they won't be satisfied with that performance because they left a lot of points out there, but they gave away a huge number of penalties.
Yeah,
particularly around the ruck, and I wasn't particularly happy with the way that Nigel Owens refereed the ruck. I thought he let Claremont...
ooze.
Yeah, can we just talk about Nigel Owens a second? Because I was watching this game and I was thinking, bloody hell, Claremont are great over the ball. They can test everything. And then a little while later, I was thinking, hang on, no, they're not great over the ball. Nigel Owens is just letting everything go.
Yeah, particularly on the ruck. So there was so many times where they either didn't release the player or were not supporting their body weight. And if you do both those things, it makes it virtually impossible to for someone to drive you off the ball. And Nigel Owens was letting them get away with it over and over again.
Completely agree.
With that said, Saracens didn't react to it quickly enough. They didn't identify that that was a problem, and they didn't get the support much closer to the man and have 2-3 men blasting over immediately, which allowed Clermont to get away with
it. They didn't use that in their defensive patterns, because if you're not to lie all over the ball, lie all over the ball.
Yeah, yeah, it works both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, you're probably right. They're probably not going to be too happy with their attacking performance. I thought their defensive performance, however, was outstanding, bar two mistakes, both involving Ashton, one definitely involving Farrell.
Yes. Yeah.
Farrell, though, was just the bigger the stage, his mental toughness is amazing. Mm. The guy's,
I don't think it was his finest performance. I thought he was.
I'm not saying it's his finest performance, but
he was good.
Big stage, he just controls it. And
he was very good.
He was very good. He's always very good, I guess. But do you know what
they you made that sound so negative.
But
earlier
we were talking about much maligned players. Let's rewind a couple of years, and there would be a lot of voices who were saying, oh, no, like Farrell, no, I don't like him. He's a negative 10. He's
a
negative 10.
I think those voices pretty much disappeared during the World Cup. And after the World Cup, everyone wrote off England. But I think the one guy that came out with a lot of credit was Owen Farrell. So I don't actually recognise that. Since the World Cup, I think he's been a stand-up player.
I think he's that good. Well, if he's that good, that I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that he'll keep Johnny Sexton on the bench.
Oh, I can see it. Yeah, but I can and I can't just because of the weaknesses at 12.
Yeah, but Gatland Ball, if he goes down the Henshaw 12 route,
I am pretty certain that Owen Farrell will start at either 10 or 12.
Yeah, he'll start. That's the point.
Wing,
just get him on the field.
He will start.
Maybe not a wing. Seeing him defending.
Yeah, do you know what?
Against Yato,
if I was going to be super critical of Owen Farrell, and I think he's a marvelous player, but I was going to be super critical. I would say that his defence isn't spot on.
Just get out.
Have a look at his stats. He misses a lot of tackles at 12, and he tends not to wrap the arms. On top of that, can be bounced. Hear me now, believe me later.
How many tens can't be bounced?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if he's playing 12, I mean, at 10, it's a different matter. And actually, Johnny Sexton didn't miss a tackle during the Six Nations.
I'm
just giving you the facts.
You're being very negative, I feel.
No, I didn't mean to be.
We can be positive about another player, Big Billy V.
Thank you.
Word.
That's who I want to talk about.
Both Vunipolas were sensational.
Vunipoli.
Yes, the Vunipoli. Billy was incredible. And something that you didn't see, we've mentioned this before, but a few years ago, 60 minutes, he would have been done.
Yeah.
He made a turnover in the 80th minute, having made a break in the first seconds of the game.
And then every 30 seconds afterwards.
And just kept going.
Mako played 75 minutes as well.
But so did...
both the props played.
So did
Cock.
And Kirikashvili, who is officially now my new favourite player.
Well, him and Mako had a few head-to-heads off... outside the scrum as well.
Wonderful, wasn't it? Wasn't it just wonderful?
You know, you said go back a few years and Billy Vunipola didn't have the 80-minute game he now has.
Yeah.
Go back a few years, and this is a quote attributed to Billy Vunipola as well. Alcohol and getting drunk has too many things against it for me. You can get a headache and you can't remember anything the next day. You have fun for 20 minutes, then you're drunk. You get ill. We got told by our parents not to drink, and I got used to going out sober. It's not a religious thing. It's just bad for your rugby. So Billy Vunipola, teetotal. Then fast forward to post-game. Billy Vunipola, I want to thank the Lord God Almighty for giving me the strength today and apologise to him because tonight I think we're going to be drunk. and it's a very flippant comment. God must hate Clermont.
Yeah. And specifically, Bonjour Mon Kaiser.
Bonjour Mon Kaiser.
That was that was his sixth European final.
I was so torn.
And he's not won a single one.
I was so torn because I love Saracens. I really wanted them to win. But I just couldn't help feel that I really wanted Benjamin Kayser just to win one.
So yeah. Say his name properly.
Sorry, Benjamin.
Benjamin Kayser.
Kayser.
Do you remember when, this sounds horribly name-droppy, but remember when we went in a Range Rover with David Flatman?
Yeah, yes.
Like, round Sheffield.
Ding! Round you Sheffield. You should have a little name-drop ding.
We drove around Meadow Hall Shopping Centre.
Yeah, we had this thing, right? We had to meet David Flatman to... We didn't have to. We were offered to meet him to interview him.
To be part of... Well, to on the Tour de Flats show.
Tour de Flats,
show.
Yeah. So... part of the leg of the Tour de Flats, which obviously must have planned out, is to take me and Phil around the shopping centre three times, just burning fossil fuels going on. And he mentioned Benjamin...
Benjamin
Kayser. And he goes, yeah, he talks like this. He goes, hi, I'm Ben. So he clearly does not speak like Benjamin Kayser.
No, that's just Eddie Butler, but we know that.
Yeah.
Billy Vunipola, do you reckon he was beer pressured into it? Do you reckon this is like a scandal, rugby union leading Billy astray? Because he now loves it. He loves the pop.
But if he...
Hey, he's earned it.
Yeah, if he has a few drinks and he can play like that, I don't care. Yeah.
I'm sure...
Let the boys play.
I'm sure Exeter Chiefs were thinking, yeah, go for it. Just fill your boots, boys.
Yeah.
Where's this extra kitty come from, Tony Rowe? Now, did anyone see the changing room scenes?
Yes.
How big are Billy's arms?
He's mad. And
he's
also,
huge.
his lats.
Yeah.
He used to get some criticism, people saying he was slightly out of shape. And there were times in his career when he looked it, but
he's definitely
an absolute slab of meat now, isn't he?
His arms are just enormous.
Yeah. Well, it's the width on the lad.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Him and his brother. The fact there's two of them and they both play for one team. I mean, when they were hammering the claim online, I was like, the only person to carry this should be someone with the surname Vunipola. Everyone else should get out of the way. And basically, it was.
But then, look at Cruz's try.
Beast.
When he crashed over, because he was... top players, or best performances from that game, Vunipola's, Goud, Cruz, and then probably Brad Barrett, just for the heart and the hard work.
I think if you're talking about both teams, I think you've got to mention Chulia as well. I thought he played so well, but
Chulia was good.
Let me just pose another question to you. Why do you think Clermont can't win this?
They've come up against teams that are marginally better than them every single time.
Okay, so I kind of thought that they choked a bit, because they could definitely play the rugby to unlock Saracens. They did for their two tries. There was that beautiful exchange of behind-the-back flicks, which looked incredible.
Yeah.
And if you saw him against Exeter, you saw him against other teams leading up to this, they were unstoppable.
Yeah.
So I don't think necessarily Saracens were a better team. If they played each other 10 times, I expect Saracens to lose more than they win. But on that stage, there's just something about them.
I would expect Saracens to win probably 6 or 7.
Would you?
Out of 10. Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Probably the thing is, Clermont, when they turn it on, when they perform as they can do, they are virtually unplayable. Mm. I mean, that try, the Abandonon try...
Benders!
Which was a Spedding break from his own try line, basically.
His English is very good, actually, yeah, for a French
fair
international.
Fair play, yeah, fair play.
But that no team in the world could have stopped them from doing that. But they cannot do it for 80 minutes. That's the problem.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. So I was going to say, how much do you think the top 14 is a problem for them? Because Saracens will play these high-intensity matches, how often? Every other week. Whereas Clermont, as good as they are, and they do take the conditioning seriously, they are a serious outfit.
They don't really take away games seriously, though. So it's every other week.
Yeah.
They have a tough, intense...
As French teams go, they do a better job than most. Let's put that way.
Is true.
So,
I love that. Who is it you were talking to? Gavin Mortimer.
Gavin Mortimer, yeah.
And he said there was an old French prop who didn't even bother tying his bootlaces when he played away.
I can't say David Flatman again, can I?
That
was a David Flatman story.
Was it?
Right.
Well, let me jump to a different prop then, and this is Baz Barrington leading some of the celebrations in the Saracens dressing room afterwards. And you know, there's a lot of people talk about the players that are on the field. We talk at length about, actually, we should give Saracens the credit for the academy products they bring through, and arguably their best players are all academy products. Mm. And the players they pluck from lower leagues. We mentioned London Scottish and Duncan Taylor. Baz Barrett was from Jersey and
Chris Wiles.
Chris Wiles and Petrus Duplessis from from Nottingham. So they're not just this team of superstars that people like to give them stick about, but they do have a special something. And it's really interesting. Nigel Ray's business background, a lot of his philosophy, and he's done public speaking about this with his videos online and stuff. But Nigel Ray is all about this family, this team ethos, this whether you're on the reception at the club or you're the highest paid, most important player, everyone has to feel valued and like they have their part and like they're all combining to do something great. And I know that sounds, JB's screwing his face up slightly. He hates all that. Yeah. I mean, the culture. But I'm sorry, mate. That's a big part of Saracens.
Mm. Don't need to apologise to meet him.
Well, anyway, let's just hear a little bit of this, because what was really nice, they give Chris Ashton a bit of stick. Oh, it's after the Sweet Caroline. Hold on. In a second, they do a song for Chris Ashton. This is Baz Barrett doing a little remix thing. I don't know if you'll be able to hear. I don't know if you'll be able to hear Barrington's words in the little verse bit. Here we go. But I'll play it anyway, just in case you can.
That's amazing.
Used to do the ash splash. Now he's just raining cash or something. Anyway, he was having a good. They were having a good bit of stick at his expense.
That is awesome.
It was great.
He's gonna have a shock, isn't he, when he shows up to Toulon and he's got to get changed in a porter cabin.
Well, training twice a week.
Yeah,
on a heavy training week.
Right, where do Saracens rank? Just briefly, where do they rank in the? Are they creating a dynasty? Dynasty, or are they still some way from that? Do we put them up there with the Leinster team of old and the Munster team that won those championships and the Leicester team that won those back-to-back titles?
You've already missed the boat. This is a dynasty. They're not creating one. It is one.
They are one of the greats now, as we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be difficult really, to argue, yeah, with the Premiership wins and the performances in
if
Europe.
If they win the Premiership, I mean, even without winning the Premiership.
Yeah.
You know, even if they came third or, you know, sorry, like second in the final now for the next 2 or 3 years, it's still up there.
Yeah.
The consistency of performance is amazing.
Yeah.
Because everyone's trying to beat them and everyone's trying to copy them.
Yeah. I have a little quiz that's inspired by the final.
Okay.
Which yes, please.
You two can play. And play along as you're listening at home.
But don't phone in, it's just for fun.
Oh, wow. There you go. So, this is going to be... based on the European Cup, and again going back to where we started this, Chris Ashton breaking the try scoring record. So, first part is you're just going to take it in turns to name players.
Okay.
And you'll get a point each time if you can name someone who is also on the top 10 list.
Top
10 try scorer list. So
of
I'm
what?
European Cup.
Okay.
So Chris Ashton is now top with 37.
Oh, that's mine gone.
So we've got 9 more.
Who's
Phil, you can go first.
Vincent Clerc.
Is Ooh. The man that he overtook, or was level with anyway, he was on 36, correct.
Aurelien Rougerie.
Is incorrect.
What? JB. That's a joke.
Phil.
He turns 37 in a few
How
months.
How is a 37-year-old who's been in most of the finals not got... He plays outside back. Check it again.
Brian O'Driscoll.
Correct. Oh, number 3 on the list. 2 for Phil.
I'm feeling under the pressure now. I don't like this.
I'll tell you that there's
Carney.
One, no, Rob Carney. No.
Jeez. Okay. No. Let's keep going. Tommy Bowe.
Tommy Bowe is equal 7th.
Oh.
25 tries.
Yes.
How many?
3 to Phil.
Okay. Okay. Shane Horgan.
Correct.
Yes.
27. He is 5th on the list all time. We have got we've got 2 players that were playing for English clubs.
Yep.
There's two guys that are French, but one of them you definitely won't get. And then there's a couple more. There's one Welshman.
But how many games did he play in Europe?
Interesting, Phil.
Yeah.
I think about that.
I'm gonna say Alassane Tuilagi.
Incorrect.
I'm gonna say Gareth Thomas.
Incorrect.
No.
That's a great shout.
This is a joke. There's something wrong with this.
I'm gonna stop this round now because you both got one wrong. So 3-1. You'll take those into the next bit. The other guys on the list were in fourth position with 29 tries. Daffith James.
Never got that. Where did he get his try? Is it?
He's played for every club there is, isn't there?
Scarlets, Harlequins.
He played for all the clubs.
All the clubs.
One guy that played for one club, Leinster, Gordon Darcy, 26, is sixth on the all-time list. Jordan Murphy, 25. Yeah. Nalanga, 25. Ben Cohen, 24. And Michael Marfang, 24.
Wow.
That's your top 10.
Rubbish quiz.
onto the top point scorer. We're not going to do it in the same way. I'm going to say that there are no Englishmen making the top 10 all-time point scorers in the European Cup.
That can't be right.
But there are two Irishmen making the top 10. Okay. Name them both.
Ronan O'Gara.
Oh, hold on. Okay, you'll have to...
You'll have to forget that.
I'll take it on trust that JB would have said Rog as well.
Okay.
I was going to go with Ian Keatley. No?
So, Rog is one. Have you got another one in your head, Phil?
Yeah, I have another one in my head as well.
Okay, go on, JB.
David Humphreys.
Be honest.
I was going to go for Johnny Sexton.
It is David Humphreys.
Yes!
Wow, very good.
So it's...
Eat my dust, Phil.
So that's 2 points to JB, one
Johnny
to
Sexton
Phil.
Been in three finals.
Yep.
That makes it
four. But I do remember David Humphreys. You need to check this. I think he got 36 points in one game.
Wow.
Ulster.
Wow.
Right, Ronan O'Gara also tops the most number of appearances in the European Cup.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
followed by a load of fellow Irishmen, and in fact, there's only one non-Irishman making the list in the top appearances in the European Cup. That is a Frenchman, 2 points, who and what club.
Okay.
So even if you don't get the name, you might get the club.
So, okay, I'm fairly confident I've got a couple of names, actually.
Yeah. So that suggests it's been a single club.
It does, doesn't it? So I've got three really good guesses here.
There's only 2 points for one person.
I'm going to... Do you want to go first?
You go first.
Thierry Dussatoir.
Oh, thank God. I think it's Fabien Pelouse.
So the team you're going for...
Would be Toulouse.
Toulouse is correct. I've just gone and lost the... I didn't write down the answer and I can't remember it, but hold on.
Goodness me. Chris Moyles would have it to hand.
Oh, it is...
So you said Pelouse.
Fabien Pelouse.
It is. That's the most appearances, wasn't it? Yeah. Most appearances is Clément Poitrenaud.
Oh, whatever.
With 87. The most appearances, there's Ronan O'Gara, then John Hayes, Gordon Darcy, Donico Callahan, Peter Stringer, Leo Cullen, Shane Horgan, Brian O'Driscoll, Anthony Foley and David Wallace.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's 1 point each.
It does show you the consistency of playing squad that the Irish team.
Ben Darwin would say contractual stability.
Yes.
Okay, so listen, there is 3 points left up for grabs in the final question. And there's 1 point between you. It's 5-4 to Phil. Felipe Contepomi is the only Southern Hemisphere player in the top 10 point scorers. The top 10 point scorers were Ronan O'Gara, by the way, Stephen Jones, Dimitri Yashvili, Diego Dominguez, David Humphreys, Neil Jenkins, David Skrela, Dan Parks. Felipe Contepomi and Jean-Baptiste Elisalde. So Felipe Contepomi, the only one from Southern Hemisphere.
Well, Dan Parks was from the Southern Hemisphere, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was, really.
That was from Edinburgh.
So is Willie Hines. More on that later. Yeah. So which three clubs did Felipe Contepomi score his combined 444 points in the European Cup?
I know.
A point for each. So take a second.
Shall we write them down?
Yeah, I think... write them down. Just on a phone or somewhere. Yeah. There you go. There you go. You can write them down there, JB.
Thank you.
No, I'm going to have to hold that because I've got the answers on that bit of paper.
I'm not going to look.
I trust you.
Goodness me. What was this? What kind of school did you go to?
Who was his third?
And then... There you go, mate. Those are your winning answers.
Oh, no. You nearly showed the answers to Phil then on the back.
I couldn't read.
No, you'll be able to read that.
Have you got three?
Yeah, of course I've got three.
I've only got two, but I'm going to write down a third.
Oh, good one.
Okay, so Phil, give your first one. I've got JB's answers here.
Leinster.
Correct, and JB's got that.
Stade Francais.
Incorrect.
What?
And JB also wrote that.
Hang on, we can't both be incorrect.
What?
And hang on. What was the question though? The question was
did he score his European Cup 444 European Cup points?
They might
for?
Not have been in Europe.
What? No, 444 points in the European Cup. Which clubs did he score?
Yeah, so he might not have scored his points for Stade Francais in Europe.
Stade Francais, yeah.
Hmm. Okay. My third answer then.
Yeah.
Was Biarritz.
Ooh, Bristol.
It was Bristol!
Yes!
Which ties it up at
What was
six,
the other one,
though?
What was the French club, then?
It was Toulon.
Was he at Toulon for a while?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
6 points each. It's a tie.
Oh, what a tie. Fight back.
Tiebreaker.
Well played, JB. Good work. It's kind of a moral victory. It's like if we did go to extra time, you'd feel like you were more confident
exactly.
of winning.
Exactly.
Or knocking over the drop goal if it came to sudden death. Right. I confess, Friday night, I was indisposed and couldn't watch this game live. I have seen Gloucester's highlights. So I'm just going to... What do you want to talk about?
Oh,
anything?
It was a great game. No, we should talk about it because it's a major European final. It has huge ramifications. And it's two great stories as well.
Huge ramifications?
Well, it does if you... Yeah, okay.
No, it doesn't. It means Northampton yeah. now have a playoff yeah. to potentially get into
it
the...
It has ramifications is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about the game. It felt a little bit like LV Cup-ish in terms of once you're in the finals, like, all right, we're in the final now. Best really take it seriously. But the game itself, it was incredibly entertaining. It was also completely reckless.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was brilliant, though.
I loved it.
To not have a dog in the fight and watch it as a neutral, it was incredible. Some of the offloads in what were pretty tricky conditions were just...
It was like...
Borderline mental.
It felt like neither team had a coach and the players were just left to their own devices and just, you know, literally play what you see.
Yeah, so, just go for it, lads.
Lord of the tries.
Yeah.
Get that.
Uh-oh, look at that. So, like, Gloucester were attacking from behind their own posts, like, numerous times. Yeah. They just decided to give it a crack. And they weren't quite organised enough to do it. So quite often, I think it was... Was it the hook, Honeck or whatever his name is?
The loose head.
Yeah, I'm sure he dropped two, maybe three. And they just couldn't quite get it right, but it was great to watch.
Yeah. And there's some very exciting players on that field.
Oh, yeah. Hear me now, believe me later. I want to say his name's Lewis, but I'm not sure. His surname's definitely Ludlow. He is going to be a star.
Yeah, Lewis Ludlow.
He was outstanding. Hear me now, believe me later. That guy will be in the England squad.
Well, the whole of that back row played really well, didn't they?
Who was the third? It was him, Morgan and...
Moriarty.
Of course it is, yeah.
Yeah. It's a handy back row, that. And you can see why they'd be happy to let Kvesic go.
Yeah. And if Carl Fearn still comes, and it's not confirmed he's not coming.
I don't want to... I'm not trying to pee on anyone's chips here, but...
But go on. Either way.
You're talking up. You're saying a 23, nearly... 24-year-old guy... is going to be an England player on the strength of him playing well against a mediocre Stade Francais side for a underperforming Gloucester side in a B-level tournament final. I think you're maybe going a bit overboard.
No,
on...
I think Lewis Ludlow is a genuinely very, very good player.
No. I'm not talking necessarily about Lewis Ludlow. I'm talking about the whole...
Yeah, but it's a final, Tim. It's a final. Yeah. And whichever way you dice it, these two teams have had to win every game to get there.
Yeah.
And Stade Francais, yeah, they've had their problems. But since that merger, they seem to have gone from strength to strength. They beat Bath when you thought they had no right to do so. And they've gone and taken apart what is a rapidly improving Gloucester team. So, no, I think you're doing these teams a little bit of an injustice there, Tim.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to actually... I think you're now accusing me of the same thing I was accusing you. I was going, I think you're maybe inflating this too much. You're going, I think you're
I'm accusing you of the opposite. That you're
actually
accusing me.
It's like, Phil, come in and just say you're both right. Come on, say it.
I can't agree with both of you, but somewhere in the middle is probably about
yeah,
right.
Yeah, there we go.
Now, was there anyone playing in this game who might be going to England?
No, I can't think of anyone. Like what, Billy Burns? We were talking about him last week. Yeah, how he's been good.
Maybe a halfback.
Yeah. Oh, halfback. Yeah, Billy Burns. It must be then.
Must be.
It can't be anyone else because there's only halfbacks. Oh, was there an English player playing for Stade?
No, Will Genier and Jules Plisson.
Of course it was. They're not English.
And
no, because
Puy and Mornay Steyn came off the bench and they're not English.
And it was Laidlaw's already obviously with Scotland.
Yeah.
And then the only other one is Willie Hines. But that's, you know, he was born in Christchurch.
Played for a long time for the Crusaders.
And he only came to England a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 2015.
He holds the record for the longest amount of time anyone's played for New Zealand under 21s.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you know he's a fully fledged Kiwi. He wouldn't. So what? sorry. What's the news? Have I missed something? What's the news today?
Willie Hines has been called up to England. Go on, Tim. Who it is?
No, listen. Right, I want to separate the issues here because this isn't. This isn't a player qualifying on residency, which, again, my heroes of the week are World Rugby. Well done, World Rugby. Finally, for sorting out the residency rules. Not necessarily to the extent that I would like, but 3 years to 5 years is a really positive move. So I'm applauding that, and I think it's really good for international rugby and for everyone else.
But Willie Hines.
And what they've also done is meant that
But what about Willie Hines?
So Willie Hines, I want to distinguish between
Hines.
Residency laws.
So, let me just clarify this for our listeners because it might be confusing. You want to distinguish between Willie Hines and the residency laws. Okay, Willie Hines.
All right, so Willie Hines actually has a grandparent who is English, so he qualifies by...
Is that right?
I don't... Citizenship, he's not actually a British citizen. I don't know if he holds a UK passport.
No, I wouldn't have thought he... would do.
I mean, that would be a really simple...
He probably could, yeah, he could apply for a
He could apply for a passport and get one, so that's kind of the point. He has a grandparent, so on that basis, don't mind it. The residency laws, I've talked about that before. I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased about what World Rugby have done. I think it's a great move. The problem is, I look at this and go, he's a 30-year-old New Zealander.
Mm-hmm.
He's entitled to play for England, so that's fine. But it's almost like what's the purpose that what's the role he's fulfilling in this England setup?
Completely agree, mate. I'm completely with you on this one. I don't care about the residencies. It bores me to tears. Rugby wise, he's very good. I really like him. But
he's had a really good season.
Does it make sense? I don't think it does.
So that was exactly my reaction. I was kind of confused, and there's been a few people who have kind of pointed out on Twitter accurately that all the players who are involved in the finals, which is
semi-finals and
semi-final and final, so
Wasps,
Exeter, Saracens, Leicester, and now Northampton, because they've got to play the playoff.
Oh yeah,
none of those players will be available for the camp that takes place next week. So it really is, he's just there to make up numbers.
Camp on.
Because otherwise you would just have Danny Kerr in the squad.
Yeah, but, I mean, even someone like James Mitchell at Sale, I'm just throwing out a name, I'm not suggesting for a second James Mitchell should be going to the England camp, but why not? You know, why if it's just someone to, you know, run around in a bib, why not?
Yeah, I definitely see that.
Although you take those teams out, and actually I'm not really... I can't think of anyone. I'm
your
just,
options?
Options, what? A Bath? There's Will Homer and Chris Cook?
No.
Chris Cook?
No.
Definitely not.
At Quinn's, you've got Charlie Mulcrone? No.
Or Carl Dixon, who retires next week.
Not
or
him.
Has just retired.
You've got...
Mickey Young at Newcastle. James Mitchell.
Johnny R.
At Worcester. Johnny R's good. Johnny R's decent.
Johnny R's not a bad player. And there's been...
Okay.
There are...
He's decent, yeah, solid.
There are a fair
player.
few Worcester players called up, like Shona and Will Spencer.
What about in the 20s? What about just promote Will someone Spencer. From the 20s?
Well, that's exactly it.
Although they've got the under-20s World Cup, which is good experience for them.
And the under-20s, I think Townsend and Maunder, who are both Exeter, are involved with Exeter.
All right.
So
I'm not as bothered about it. as I was, because he's entitled to play for England because he has a grandparent. Yeah. Fine, I'm actually not bothered by it. And the players,
you know, I'd see
the players he could pick, aren't of the required standard. So I kind of get that one. Just
how old will he be when the next World Cup? 32.
32. He's like, you know, Haskell's 32 now.
He's playing. Yeah, he's playable.
Yeah,
he's
fine. Yeah, yeah. He'll be old enough come the World Cup. So actually, I'm not that bothered by it.
Well, and also, I think he's probably at best seventh choice scrum half.
Yeah.
You take out, so Youngs and Kerr are out. Robson, Simpson are out. Jack Maunder and Will Chudley are out.
They've got Chudley, Phillips, Maunder and Townsend there, haven't they?
I don't know who Phillips is.
Is it Phillips? I've got Hayden
Thomas.
He's retiring. Dave Lewis is there as well, but he's off somewhere else next year.
Yeah.
What you got next on the running order, Tim?
I think we dealt with that one. I've already mentioned it. I'm delighted World Rugby have changed their laws. It won't kick in until 2020. So Denny Solomona, who's that Irish guy that quite controversially has gone as another project player? James Lowe.
So I actually read an interview with James Lowe. And I don't know if he is a project player.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
He has already played for the Maori All Blacks. And he talked, so he's got an arthritic condition that means that he doesn't actually know how long he's going to be playing for.
It's one hell of a project.
His justification was, I genuinely don't know how long I'm going to be playing for. I need to maximise my earnings while I can.
Fair enough.
You can look at it both ways.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this bit before, so I'm really glad. I think people that have a kind of opinion that you have, JB, and yourself, it's kind of a corporate. It's kind of, you look at international rugby
shill.
At international rugby like a corporation rather than a passion. You look at individual interest instead of international integrity. And I'm a bit more of a purist.
Well, that's,
if you like.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Why don't you read our corporate message from Cornerstone, Tim?
let me do that. Now, would we say Cornerstone is, without any shadow of doubt, the best razor that you can get?
It's certainly the best razor that I own.
It's definitely the best razor that I've used.
It's undisputably the best razor in this house.
And for the cost of about a pint, probably in fact less than a pint, £4, you can experience for yourself what it feels like to be shaven by Razor Sharp Cornerstone Razor. You get half a dozen of them delivered to you with your free engraved aluminium shaft. Get your initials on that bad boy. Get it in your bathroom. Use it and you won't look back. £4, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg 10 at checkout.
Game on.
There you go.
Very good.
Let's talk about the World Cup groups, because they are.
Oh gosh, amongst everything I've completely forgotten.
Just one thing before we do get off the England squad.
Yes.
Do you see your mate? What's his wrestler name?
Oh, Crisis.
Jamal Ford Robinson.
Yeah.
Is in there as well in the England squad.
Oh, is he? Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, man on the inside. Get in.
Yes.
Oh, good for him.
World Cup.
Well, he's
World Cup.
Long time Egg Chasers listener, Jamal Ford Robinson.
Yeah.
So hi, Jamal. Yes, congratulations.
Definitely.
Well done.
Well done. Well deserved. Done. I'm really looking forward to seeing him next year.
Yeah, I am as well. And also, I'm looking forward to seeing his hair.
Yes.
I have told you about the green, yellow, and black blocks, which he's going to do on a mohawk.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
It's guaranteed now, so there you go.
So, World Cup groups, right? Here's a question. I'm just going to put this one to you. If you could, Phil, as an Englishman, if you could change England's pool position, pool with Ireland, would you change?
Scotland and Japan.
Yeah, would you change pools? If you could, I could just say, right, change now. The reason I ask that is because on the face of it, it seems like an easy question. Like, yeah, I think that would be, rather than France, Argentina, probably Samoa or Tonga, I'd rather have Scotland, Japan, and whoever else. However, England may have, as some people said, a really, really tough pool. Ireland or Scotland have New Zealand and South Africa waiting for them.
Yeah.
So, if what would you do if you were a gambling man, Phil? What would you do? Stick or twist?
I would probably stick.
Phil just said he can't wait to play Australia in the quarters. He thinks we're going to do him.
No, I'm expecting big things of Georgia this time around. So
yeah.
Win the group, face Georgia in second.
Yeah, I think you'd stick.
Yeah, it is.
These
on
groups
the face it
feel
tough.
A lot fairer than they did last time around. I mean, yeah, they feel a lot more balanced. I mean, there's no horrendous group, is there? Like Wales, England, Australia.
Yeah.
We don't know where Argentina...
France, Argentina, England is the one.
We don't know where Argentina are going to be 2 years from now. They tend to be good in World Cups and then South American playboys in between.
Mm. Yeah. Watching the Jaguares this season...
How did they do last night, by the way? I was meant to watch them.
They
didn't.
Got beat by the Force at home.
Did they?
Yeah.
See, well, this is okay, isn't it? Because I guess Jaguares have got a relatively stable existence going forward, and Force are basically scrapping for everything that they can get. I mean, it's kind of like Stade Français. If you want the boys to play well, tell them that they're going to have no jobs at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And watch them go.
Yeah, that's true. But you'd expect more from the Jags. It is
a national team, isn't it?
It basically is, yeah. When I watched them, it was 22 out of the 23 were international players.
So why not just put them in blue and white jerseys to play Super Rugby and watch them beat everyone?
Yeah, it's good. Having those players together, it can only be good. Talk about contractual stability.
Mm.
That's the most stable international team in the world.
Yeah.
Because 90% of them play with each other all the time.
Well, hang on. Let's move away. Do you want to talk about World Cup groups anymore? Because we know what they are and they're fairly balanced. I'd like to
apart
use...
Well, quite interesting, the group of Venter. Brendan Venter will be coaching two teams in Group B.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder where his loyalties lie there.
That Paul D looks like, again, you've got a rising force in Georgia, and on the strength of recent years, you've got declining forces. Although, again, come a World Cup, you know Australia are going to be whipped back into shape. So I'm not reading too much into where they're at now.
Of course, Japan, there'll be a very interesting one. Jamie Joseph, and I think Tony Brown is involved as well, who's high on the team, what, seven straight now?
And they're at home.
Yeah.
Not that it helped England at all, but... Home advantage usually.
God, yeah, they are. And they beat South Africa last... Yeah.
They're,
I expect them to be decent.
Yes. Although they've not got Eddie. So that's a little bit...
Yeah, it's almost like they've got an upgrade in coaches. I mean, they've not just got one good one now. They've got two.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, anyway. Do you want to move on to our new feature yet, Tim?
Oh, yeah, we'll do that in a sec. I was just going to say, has there been any more rumour mill stuff flying around? There's talk.
Toby Flood, isn't there?
Toby Flood's gone back to Newcastle. There's talk of Jamie Roberts leaving Harlequins and Francis Saili from Munster going to Quinns.
Yep.
That's been circling around for a bit.
That'd
be a great signing, actually.
Yeah.
So they're intensifying those rumours.
I would imagine that Saili would free up a little bit of cap space at Quinns because Roberts is going to Roberts is going to be one of their best paid players.
Yeah, he doesn't come cheap.
And Saili's available all year round.
Can you see Roberts really...
Well, he can be a marquee player as well, can't he?
He can. Saili. Yeah, yeah.
Can you see Roberts really going back to Wales? I mean, he's past the steroid and tattoo phase, so that's not going to entice him back. He's a well-educated man.
Because he's not even first choice now. Do the WRU need him?
Yeah, so I'm kind of thinking, like, what would be the point in him going back when he can probably get more money elsewhere? WI don't need him, so he's just basically taking up a shirt for someone else. He might go back, but if he does, I don't particularly like it.
He could do what? Have you seen what Jeff Parling's doing?
Yeah, he's going to Japan for a few months and then on to Super Rugby.
Oh, is he? Didn't know that. Oh,
yeah.
Well, not confirmed he's going on to Super Rugby, but that's thought to be his route.
I thought he was confirmed.
He's the right sort of player for Super Rugby as well. He'll do well there.
He had the offer before he went to Exeter and considered it quite a lot. But if you had the chance to travel and play and earn money, like he's got a young family, that's just ideal.
Yeah, and he's, what, 33 now?
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant.
Why not spend a few years? Exactly. Haskell did it in the past.
Yep. Gareth Delve?
Dell did it. Cipriani did it. Michelak did it.
Michelak really did it. He did it numerous times. And he's still playing.
Is he?
He's still at Lyon, yeah. I don't know if he's signed next year, but he plays scrum off for Lyon. And when he plays, he looks class.
Why not?
But we do have a brand new segment. You're absolutely right, JB. So this is going to be a segment that's going to help us get ready for the tour of the Lions to New Zealand. And it's just basically we're making sure we keep our eyes on the double world champion All Blacks so that you know what's coming and what's waiting for the Lions in New Zealand. So we have a brand new segment called...
I can't say it.
Hey, what's happening, bro? Have we got some music to go along with this?
Not confirmed, okay, but here's some ideas for music. We were thinking of Super Boom Boom.
Yeah,
or
possibly.
Maybe it's too much of an in-joke. What about what's the Time Mr. Wolf song from Once We Were Warriors? Do either of you know that?
I don't know that film.
No.
Do you not know the film, like Jake the Mass? It's like, I think I'm sure it's the only ever New Zealand films we made outside of Lord of the Rings.
I don't know. Lord of the Rings music might be
Lord
good
of the
music.
Rings, yeah.
Actually, that theme tune would probably be a good shout.
If you could lump it all together, all the best bits of Kiwi culture, misplaced vowels
Let's put it out there. We're going to be doing this segment for a bit, so if there's any suggestions you might put in for a Kiwi-related song.
What's the Time, Mr. Wolf? Amazing song.
I quite like It's Business Time by Flight of the
Conchords. Oh, Flight of the Conchords. I love that.
I knew you like Flight of the Conchords.
So indie,
Tim.
Anyway, hey, what's happening, bro?
There we go.
Well, let's play some music now, then.
All right, while we do this.
Okay. So wait, let's do this, right? So, you got some music ready?
No.
What are you doing?
I'm typing in YouTube.
Okay.
Flight of the Conchords, Business Time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, please.
Yeah. Phil, present.
Present.
JB, present.
Bin meeting.
Tom, present. Okay,
is this a live version?
It is a live version.
Hey, what's happening, bro?
Oh, yeah. this is stop the music.
I'm not sure this is working. Yeah. Maybe you'll have to work on this another time.
Yeah, let's get the music right for next week.
Yeah.
Or next time we do this feature.
You're leaning close and say something sexy.
There you go.
Okay, hey, what's happening, bro?
In case you don't know the name of the feature, I think you've got it.
This is the lowdown on what's going on with those Obliques. It's quite New Zealand has to be one of the most difficult accents to do.
Just do it Australian.
Hey, what's happening, bro? Phil. Full.
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 Full. Full.
Hang on.
Tell us what's going on in New Zealand.
So, key thing in New Zealand at the moment, their Super Rugby teams are dominating Australian Super Rugby teams.
Yes.
I think it's 19-0 to New Zealand.
No, it's not.
In this season's competition.
Ouch.
That's brutal.
That is pretty brutal. And if you look at the overall table, the worst New Zealand team, the Blues, I think are 17 points ahead of the best Australian team.
God.
So, New Zealand, it's fair to say their teams are doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Crusaders are unbeaten and they beat my beloved Canes this weekend.
Amazing. Simply amazing.
I was sure the Canes were going to win that going into it, but it was a hell of a performance by the Crusaders.
So, here's a hear me now, believe me later moment, which I might come to regret. But hear me now.
You've had about seven of these during this podcast. If you throw enough stuff at the wall, some of it's going to stick. But
well, Lewis Ludlow is going to play for England. I think that's nailed on. And here's one. I think that the Lions will not win a single game against a full-strength provincial side.
Wow.
Well, we've already been told that the Crusaders are going to be able to pick their full-strength team with all their All Blacks.
Yeah, and if they do, I can't... So, this is where I'm coming from. We kind of now have a very small sample size of teams that are club teams and then go into international teams. For instance, the Pumas.
Yeah.
So the Pumas are not a very good club side-ish. They can be sometimes. Then when they pull on a different jersey, they become better. Now, is that because they become better players or because maybe playing international rugby, the teams that they're facing aren't quite as coherent as the club teams? So if you look at these franchises, if you look at the New Zealand, what do you call them, franchises or the regions or the what provinces or whatever they are, right? When they're basically all the same All Blacks, but they're playing together for longer in different systems.
Yeah.
So I would not surprise me at all to see the Lions get absolute hiding. Look what happened to Wales against the Chiefs.
So what's happening, bro? I'm throwing to you. What's happening?
Well, in terms of the squad, in terms of who's going to be playing for New Zealand, there's a few key injuries. And there does seem to be a bit of a worry about what the New Zealand back row, particularly the 6-8 position, is going to look like. Because as things stand, probably, well, definitely the first choice eight and the captain, Kieran Reid, is out with a thumb injury until some point in June.
They'll get him back in time, won't they?
Jerome Kano is out injured. He'll be the first choice six.
Yep.
And Liam Squire, who would probably be the first choice to replace either of those two, is also out with a thumb injury. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Jordan Taufua had a big game at number eight.
Yeah.
In place of Kieran Reid. And Matt Todd hit a bug. He had a bug game.
Yeah.
Matt
Todd isn't really
great.
He's not really the issue because Sam Kane and Ardy Surveyor.
Yeah.
Who I think could both end up playing. I mean, Ardy's played a little bit at eight for the Canes this year.
Your beloved Canes.
My beloved Canes, of course. So I think you're going to end up with two sevens on the field.
Interesting.
And right. Then it'll
like
be...
Pooper style.
It would be one of probably Tulafua, Elliot Dixon.
It's not said Dexon.
Dexon, maybe. Akira Ioane. But I'm not sure if he's quite there. Or the other man they might have gone to in the past would be Stephen Luatua. But he's obviously off to Bristol next year to play some championship.
Well, someone that got lifted in the line-out, so really, really versatile player, was...
Johnny May?
Geordie Barrett. Geordie Barrett. He took a line-out. Yeah, Julian Surveyor went into the line-out.
And he actually not only got lifted, but received and fed down to the nine.
Wow, look at that. So where were the other players?
They were all in there as well. It was like a nine-man lineup.
So the
big question that's everyone's watching, and I imagine people in New Zealand are asking this constantly, is will Geordie Barrett make the 15? Because he's tearing things up in Super Rugby. He is been excluded from the under-20s World Cup squad. We saw him in Manchester last year at the under-20s World Cup. And the guy's a frightening prospect, and his first season in Super Rugby... Taken to it like a duck to water. He's 96 kgs. He's a good 6'2".
He's 6'5".
What?
Yeah, he's very tall and rangy.
Yeah, so fullback he could slot in, wing he could slot in. He could be a utility bench player.
Does he look a little bit like Reese Hodge, that kind of player?
A little bit. He's probably not quite as rangy as Reese Hodge, but he's quick, he's strong, he's got very good hands. And importantly, and I think this is the most important thing, he kicks sticks. He's a good kicker. He's been kicking ahead of Bowden Barrett. Because Bowden Barrett, his all-round game is incredible. Absolutely incredible, including his kicking out of hand. I mean, some of his kick passes this season and his tactical kicking have been amazing. But his kicking at sticks isn't brilliant. And I think that is the key. That is going to be the key question is, do you put either Geordie Barrett or Damian McKenzie onto the wing?
D-Mac.
Boys, I love this feature. I'm telling you now, you are jumping the gun. All we need to be focusing on is that first provincial match. And then we can go from there.
The All Blacks are lying there in wait. And
the All Blacks will be easier. The All Blacks will be easier.
So the fixture is New Zealand Barbarians on the 3rd of June. Then the Blues, who are the weakest of the New Zealand teams, followed by what will probably be a full-strength Crusaders side and what will probably be a full-strength Highlanders side to warm them up for the Maori All Blacks.
That'll be neat. They'll win that one.
But then the Chiefs is only 4 days before the first test.
Yeah, that won't be
so
it.
They're not going to. And then the Hurricanes is in between first and second
it
test.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter so, what. If you say the All Blacks are going to be easier, it doesn't matter. Lose 8 out of the 10 games on tour, win 2 up games against the All Blacks.
That is what
well comes. I do agree with you, yes. I mean that of course is the aim, but look at those shirts up there, Tim. Facebook Live can't see them, but you can see the 5 provincial shirts. Which shirt is going to come unstuck against the Lions? I can't really say any.
Blues
well, maybe
Canes and Chiefs. You'd hope that it'll be a second string Lions team, but it would definitely be a second string.
We can get into all this nearer to the tour. We can get into all this in the nearer tour.
Look, we're second string
Wales. We were just, hey, listen, the point of this segment is let's just keep you up to speed with,
no.
Hey, what's happening, bro?
The point of this segment is where we all sit down for 5 minutes in a podcast and we all panic about what's going to happen on the Lions tour.
Right, now I understand where you're coming from.
I can't think straight.
I am pretty certain that the Lions are going to lose 3.
That's what it's going to be. Out of 3. What's happening, bro? And we're going to have a panic alarm straight after.
So one of the things that's happening, just to summarise that, is that that Jordy Barrett is the real deal and is coming for the Lions, potentially sneaking into the matchday squad or the wider squad.
Well, who do you pick as your back three then? Because
Izzy Dagg's the man on the wing at the minute, isn't he? And
you've seen them playing Dagg and Smith, one on the wing, one at fullback.
They do like two fullback wingers
with then Naholo or Surveyor,
yeah,
as the other option.
And Milner Scudder, is he out? Definitely.
So Milner Scudder has pretty much not played since the World Cup in 2015.
He's
played about 3 games this year, and every single time he picks up another niggling injury.
Yeah.
So he's out now until mid-June.
What the heck? I'd throw Jordy Barrett in. He looks utter class. I'd just throw him in.
I would be tempted to use D-Mac as well. I think he is class.
Oh my God, panic alarm. We need a panic alarm. Add that to the list of sound effects.
And next week's feature, we'll be looking at the centres, the frightening prospect of the centres.
Hey, what's happening, bro? That's a wrap on that.
There we go. I don't have any sound effects, so sorry.
No worries.
We will for next week, though.
Yeah.
Right, well, speaking of next week, we should look ahead to some of the games then, because we now get into Pro 12 and Avicii Premiership semi-finals.
Yeah.
So let's cast our eyes over the Irish Sea.
Well, do you want to do pick of the week first, or do you want to do Pro 12 first?
Let's do these Pro 12.
Pro 12 first, because the first game this weekend is on the Friday night.
Right, okay, let me ask a broad question. Are either the Irish provinces even close to losing a game here?
So, Leinster hosting Scarlets, no.
No.
Munster hosting Ospreys,
no.
A little bit closer.
Do you reckon?
Well, as in, I think Ospreys might win 1 out of 10 as opposed to 0 out of 10 times.
I actually think the Scarlets have got a better chance.
Do you?
Marginal. I mean,
I think both of them have got slim chance. Yeah. Not worth debating how slim a chance is. How much of that pie chart? Is it a 5% slice or a 7% slice?
Yeah. There is more chance of me surviving being hit by an articulated lorry than there is by a Pendolino train. Those are the margins that the Welsh teams are working with.
I'll take the articulated lorry, please.
Fully loaded.
Is the Pendolino train coming into station? Or
oh, no.
No, full, it's full.
Full yeah, West Coast Main Line.
I'll take the Arctic, begrudgingly. I'll take the Arctic lorry.
It's been nice, boys.
So we're saying all Irish final.
Yes.
In Dublin as well, isn't
in
it?
In Dublin, yeah.
God, that's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
We should really make every effort to go and watch that.
Yeah, we keep on saying this, but
well, I've got tickets for it. So like,
have you?
Yes. So like,
is the final on the 27th?
27th.
Yeah, it is. Well, it'd be good to have a correspondent at the
Avicii.
Mind you, do you need some backup for the fist fight with Andy Goode on stage?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Well, we'll be getting hammered in Dublin, so you'll have to find some other mates.
Dublin would be so good for that game. Leinster Munster in Dublin would be special.
It'll just be chaos.
Yeah. Carnage.
It'd be brilliant. I'll be wearing my Ulster shirt, obviously.
Imagine if
final time I could wear my
Keenar
shirt.
Imagine two Welsh teams. Imagine how rubbish Dublin will be if two Welsh teams somehow pull it off.
Well, because I reckon there'd be a lot of... Because we're already writing it off. I bet there's quite a lot of confident Munster and Leinster fans that have already bought final tickets.
Yeah. 100%. They bought them as soon as they were available back in September.
Yeah, so what would you do if you were a Leinster fan or a Munster fan? Well, especially a Leinster fan when it's right there in your home city.
Let's give the Welsh teams just a tiny bit more respect, all right? In particular, Scarlets. Don't forget, this team did draw with Saracens, and that's no mean feat.
Yeah,
they also lost the sale.
It's not so much that it's the home factor with these two Irish provinces.
It is home factor, but like just for one, I'm going to try and talk myself around into this. Just for one game, just up your performance for one game. I mean, that is the point in playing. If you really knew, they wouldn't actually play the game.
Yeah. I don't think we need to go into it anymore.
No.
I'm not confident, even if everything goes perfectly for Ospreys and Scarlets and everything goes horribly wrong for Leinster and Munster, even then I'm still not convinced.
Yeah, I'm with you.
To the Avicii Premiership Final then.
And which
game would you want to do? Oh yeah, because of course you could win with LeoVegas.com. Now, Leo Vegas love their rugby. They partner with Leicester Tigers. They partner with us as a podcast because they love their rugby. So that's what you do in it. You go with a heavyweight heritage club in English, and you go with the heritage rugby podcast, the one that's been around, the real deal, the one, no gimmicks. A few gimmicks.
There are a few.
Hey, what's happening, bro? No names. We just straight up love our rugby. So they've come to us. And with Leo Vegas, let me tell you, they are a betting company that love their rugby. And they've got some great offers. And you should go there and make your bet with them. On this game, which one do you want to talk about as our game of the week?
Well, the game I'm most interested in is Saracens Exeter.
Yeah,
actually.
Has to be.
I mean... This is just a clash of two teams that I have enormous respect for. And they're actually very similar in a lot of ways, too.
Culture?
Yeah. That's a
great point.
The culture and unity, and also they do get more... They are more than the sum of their parts.
Yeah.
Which I don't think... I think those two things are quite heavily linked, actually.
Yeah. So, this is like... Is it the Hadfields versus the McCoys? So two very, very tight family units going at it. I really can't call this. Because although everything says Saracens, Saracens have had the whip hand on Exeter, for the last two years. But Exeter have been playing some of the best rugby in the entire Premiership.
I
tell you what, they might even be better at Saracens close to the line. So if you watch Saracens close to the line against Claremont, they... didn't quite have the shape and the structures that Exeter have. And also, Exeter are extremely good in that like middle pot of the field when they start to open up a bit.
Yeah. When Exeter do open up, they are brilliant.
Yeah.
That back three is so dangerous.
I'm going to ask the question, though. Which Exeter player or players... I know it's a false description, but I'm saying you would only take Jack Knoll out of Exeter into a Saracens team to improve it.
This is largely irrelevant because you've got the question the wrong way around. It's which Saracens players would you put in the Exeter back line? The reason I say that is we've just spoke about the Saracens players earlier, and they're not individually that great. So if you look at people like...
Wiles, Bosch, Barrett.
Correct. And you look at someone like, think of his name now, Slade. I mean, you'd probably pick up Slade all day.
You put Slade in the centre ahead of Brad Barrett or Bosch. Yeah.
I mean, would you go for Wiles or Ollie Woodburn?
Well, you go for Noel.
Shorts?
Definitely Noel ahead of
Ashton.
Good Noel Ashton.
Yeah, it would be Noel Ashton.
Yeah, I think good as well. But it isn't clear cut. These two teams are good because they're good teams, not because of good individuals.
No, completely. I completely agree. But maybe it's re-emphasising on another level again that the squeezing talent out of what they have, Exeter manage it even more than Saracens manage it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's 1A and 1B. Where do Exeter have an advantage over Saracens? Well, close in, definitely. I do believe that.
If they can actually finish their driving maul, that has always been a weapon.
Driving maul, they can score off. I think they can finish close in. I also think they have a very slight advantage, the amount of work rate that they can squeeze out of their front row. I mean, that front row is built to work.
Wow, that is a hell of a statement.
With Mako on the
now,
other side.
Do they have the advantage in the scrum? Don't know if they do.
Yeah.
But do they have, like, Moon, Williams, Hepburn? I mean, you watch those boys, and they graft and graft and graft.
But, I mean, Jamie George, Vincent Cock, who's one of the most mobile tight ends in the league, in the game, and Mako, who is probably the best loose head in the world.
Yeah, you make a good point.
And then you take Jamie George off and bring Scout Brits on.
Yeah, I immediately take back what I say.
How many points is Sandy Park worth?
So the two big factors, yeah. Sandy Park will be massive. And also, Saracens, that game was one of the most physical games that I've ever seen. The two enormous packs just directly fronting up against each other over and over again. That, it's got to take it out of you.
Yeah.
Like, they'll and be also, walking wounded.
Not to say they shouldn't have celebrated. They obviously should have. But walking wounded, it's a huge game. I mean, you know what it feels like just after a bloody level 7 game?
Yeah.
Let alone a European Cup final.
Yeah.
Then you're on the smash in Edinburgh. Let's take a couple of days off to get ready for that. You've got 3 days to get ready, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they will do it because they're professionals. But still, it's a big ask. And Exeter have been off all week.
Yeah. Yeah, they've just solely been focusing on this game.
And at Sandy Park.
So it's the Sandy Park in the positive comment for Exeter, but that little like mental doubt.
Yeah.
They've been to a final, so they played in this final last year and they had a horrific first half where they bottled it in that first half. Came back in the second half and got close and respectable, but lost the game. But I think mentally,
Yeah.
You know, look at how Saracens had to go through that kind of disappointment to come out the other side. So maybe.
What do you think the defining feature is of Exeter as a club?
Rob Baxter.
Yeah, and pulling everyone together.
I would say it's pretty much the same, but slightly different. I think they improve every year. So
our judgment and many people's judgment as well on occasions.
Yeah.
I'm not brave enough to pick them. I don't know who. I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
So I think the positives and negatives we've talked about mean it's almost a 50-50 call. It's almost a coin toss. But knowing that, and knowing that Saracens team who've got through these close call games in the last few years, makes me say, give me Saracens. Saracens by 5 points. Well, less than 5 points.
I think Saracens will put their foot on the pedal in the last 20 and win by 9 or 10.
Exeter by 3. No, Exeter by 2.
I would love to see a new team win it. I'd love to see Exeter win the whole
thing.
Come
on, Exeter.
Yeah,
I'd love to see it. That's not to knock Saracens.
These are probably my two favourite teams in the Premiership. So I'll be happy either way. It would be really nice for Exeter to do it, but then another double for Saracens would be incredible.
Look, they've got the European Cup. I mean, as much as you like them, they can have that. That's fine. Yeah. So
Maybe actually as well for the Lions, it'd be good if some of those Saracens boys just have a rest.
Exactly.
Just
exactly.
Chill out. They get a week off before getting on a plane.
It's madness, isn't it, their schedule? Genuine lunacy. But still.
Yeah.
Right. Other semi-final then. So that is our Leo Vegas bet of the week. Get involved and good luck.
Do you want some more music?
Yeah, go on. Yep. So the other semi-final is 4:45 PM kickoff Saturday late afternoon. It's at the Rico. I'm going to be there for this one, and it's Wasps versus Leicester Tigers, Midlands derby, which Leicester are begrudgingly accepting that it probably is. They don't particularly like that description. Wasps from what's the place again?
Well, they were London, weren't they?
Yeah, they were West London. Not Ascot.
Wickham.
No, it was High Wickham before, yeah. But their home, their spiritual home is, I forget the name of the place now.
I know.
A, beginning with an A. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
There.
You know where we're talking about. But Wasps to lose at home. Sorry, not Wasps v to lose. It's Wasps to lose, isn't it, at home?
They just
demolished Sarries 35-15.
Okay, let's ignore that result.
Because that was... As good as Saracen's second team is, it was definitely Saracen's second team, and they were solely focused on the European Cup final.
I've been accused recently of Wasps hate, and that isn't true. I just think that they're fragile. Even with the Saracens win, and they're playing Leicester. Let's just have a think about
this. Let's just do what we did then. Right, which Leicester player would you slot into that Wasps back line?
No, I don't.
Would you? Well, I would just ask a question.
Yeah,
Ben Youngs, Freddie Burns, Beetham, Williams, Roberts, Thompson, Tate played in that game against Worcester. Vianu's on. Yeah, it was injured, but maybe back.
If you put who do you put Vianu in for?
You don't.
Kirtley Beale, Willie LaRue, or Christian Wade.
True.
Elliot Daly, Jimmy Gopeth, Sippers. Maybe on form, Freddie Burns. And he could be. He was that good against Worcester that he pretty much won them the game when they didn't play that well.
Okay, so persuade me why you would pick Wasps as the way that they play. Not the personnel, the way they play.
They've only lost once at home, is it? Am I right in saying that? Once or twice?
Very good home record.
Right, yeah. An incredible home record.
Finished top of the pile in the Premiership.
Yeah, they have guys that have been to the summit of they've been to international rugby and played in massive games, so they have kind of pedigree and mental fortitude that this Leicester Tigers side don't necessarily have. They have guys that have played at a really high level, but there's a lot of guys that have not been here as well, in the same way, or at least not gone to a final.
Yeah, they've been consistent in getting into the top four, but when was the last time they were in the final?
Yeah. So,
however. Front row,
Cooper Woolley out. Yeah, apparently that's a big deal.
Yeah. So however, Leicester I do see some elements for Leicester. One, Freddie Burns. Everyone talks about him being that hot and cold kind of player. He looks to be in a really hot vein of form and in a key position, territory, getting your team moving forward. And secondly, that front row.
Yeah. They do definitely have an advantage there. I agree with that. There's no Tommy Taylor either. He is out in a little ankle-y boot thing. So that makes a difference. Are they better in the back row? I mean, I really like Brendan O'Connor.
I think the Wasps back row is better if they've got everyone available.
They're certainly better carriers. That's for sure.
And Haskell.
Yeah, Haskell does hard work.
Tackling and work rate is very good.
Right, okay, so... Here's the thing about Wasps. They are the most talented 15 in the league. I don't think there's much doubt about that.
Certainly their back line. Individual talent in that back line.
Yeah. And also, like we alluded to before, they can carry hard. They've got a good pack that do some outstanding things. But as a team, I don't think that they're quite settled enough. So I think they'll squeeze past Leicester, but I don't think they'll beat whoever they see in the final.
I think, yeah, I agree with that.
There is something about Leicester, though.
Well, the galvanising force, the shocking situation that Tom Youngs and, as a result, Ben Youngs is going through is just things like that, and the short-term honeymoon effect of a new head coach in Matt O'Connor.
Yeah,
they do have a lot more focus now, don't they? They do have a lot more certainty in the way they play. So yeah, that can't be a bad thing.
I mean. Yeah, I guess with the Matt O'Connor thing, there must be I don't know whether it's organisation and strategy or whether it's just a kind of togetherness that we talk about with Exeter or Saracens. Mm. But whatever the case, there's some other things at play off the field that could help make the difference in a tight game, maybe. Well, I don't know. I expect Wasps to win.
I hope Leicester win. Not because I dislike Wasps, it's because I've got £25 on Leicester.
Is that 25 quid of our money? Is this Leo?
No, this is my own bet.
What's happening with our Leo Vegas fund? Because you're squirreling that away for yourself. What's going on?
And I've got a new car as well. what are the chances? No, I made this bet when Cockle got fired because I thought now it's just one focus, one coach playing one type of rugby. It'll be a good bet. And then they made the top four. So here's to me.
And they got rid of another coach.
Yes. And then I wanted to get my bet back, but I didn't have a cash in option. Right.
I think Wasps were most likely, but I think Leicester do have a good. They've got a chance of turning them over, particularly if that tight five.
We're such populists calling Leinster Munster final and Saracens Wasps final.
Can I just point out one other thing? We spoke a lot, didn't we, about the home advantages for Exeter, for Leicester, and for Munster. I think Leicester's home advantages.
Leinster.
No, Leicester.
Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester's home advantage is going to be massive. Because, yes, they are playing in a different stadium.
Yeah, I've been accused of Wasps hate. Now you're just poking a bear. Go on.
But who do you think will be able to get more fans into that ground when the call goes out?
you might be right.
I don't think the home advantage is massive for
there
Wasps.
There was 30,000 people in that last game of the regular season.
Yeah, that's fair. But still, I mean, those Leicester Tigers fans are all over that area, and if they want to get in, yeah, it won't be as clear a home advantage as there is in all other three games.
I love the storyline of the geography because again, when Wasps moved to town on their first game, Leicester had a big billboard, going basically saying we've always been here.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah, we're Midlands rugby.
So here is the profile of a Wasps fan that couldn't be bothered going to Leicester Tigers, but Wasps showed up and said, yeah, I'm well into this. Who is that person?
Well, people that live in Moseley or Commonwealth.
Maybe there is quite a lot of, when you have one really successful team in the area and you're not linked to them, maybe you were a Coventry fan or something.
Well, I was going to say, Coventry were one of the big teams back in the day.
Maybe you just don't like Leicester, and maybe that's why.
Yeah. There is a
that makes Wasps sound like they're full of protest votes fans rather than actual Wasps fans. And they are actual fans. So I just wonder who they are. Because they're not coming from High Wycombe. Or...
Some of them are.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Who knows?
There you go.
Best of luck to all teams.
Yes. Well played, JB. Well played. Right. Any other business, gents?
Oh, yes. One cup result that we haven't mentioned.
Oh, no. Do you know what? No. Before you get into that. Playoff final Wednesday night.
Oh, yes, thank
you. Don't forget that. Yorkshire Carnegie versus London Irish.
Yes. So that's
the first leg.
The first leg at Headingley.
And I had Joe Ford on the Rugby Dungeon this week talking about
Leicester bound Joe Ford.
Yeah.
I mean, no one predicted that. No one saw that coming.
It was not announced yet. But yeah, apparently going to Leicester. Who knows? I can't believe you didn't talk about this. This is the best game of the year.
Yeah, I love these games.
These are the best games of the year.
Yeah.
In fact, could anyone think of a single better game in any level of rugby union than Worcester-Bristol second game?
Oh,
that was brutal, tense. That was amazing.
The comeback at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. Or for that matter, the one when, was it a last-minute drop goal at Worcester? Was that London Welsh?
I can't remember.
There was one. I just have this memory of one really tense game, and there was a last-minute drop goal. I think it might have been.
Was it London Welsh? Gordon Ross, was it? The Scottish fly half, who was about 35 when he guided him up.
It might have been. Or it might have been when Worcester went back up, and it was. Yeah, Graham Kitchener was in that team, and they went back up, and I think it was a late drop goal.
But there's been other classics.
Anyway.
There's been other classics as well. Cornish Pirates in the. With the Dave Ward team. Dave Ward, Gareth Cattle. Is it Gareth Cattle?
I mean, who was that prop for years?
Alan Paver.
Alan Paver.
Who's still involved at Cornish Pirates.
Is he?
I bet he is.
He played last year for a couple of games. So, yeah, not to be missed. Make sure, absolutely make sure that you watch it on Wednesday night. Is it 7:30?
7:45 kickoff Wednesday night. But
London Irish, I think, are going to be quite exciting next year in the Avicii Premiership if they make it with, back three, including... Lewington and Cockenasiga.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Really going to be worth watching them.
Completely.
I mean,
that's
they've got those young guys, the Johnny the inside centre.
Johnny Williams.
Everyone rates. And Theo Brophy-Klues kind of coming through. I'm not
a fan of Theo Brophy-Klues, no.
Sorry?
You're not a fan of...
Well, no, I think pulling the strings in the Avicii Premiership is another level. Mm. So we'll have to wait and see, but he's definitely got a lot of promise.
Mm-hmm.
In the under-20 squad this summer.
And the last game that I wanted to mention today, North Midlands drew 56-56 with Warwickshire in the second division of the county championship yesterday.
56 all draw.
Did either of you guys play county rugby?
No.
Did you not?
Well, up to under whatever it was, all the lower age group.
Your brother must have played though.
Yeah. He won the county championship with Devon when he was at Plymouth, and then win it with Lancashire as well.
So there are rules, aren't there, with county rugby? Like, it's got to be below a certain level.
It does now these days.
Yeah.
So like
non-pro.
Yeah. So Lancashire are pretty strong. They tend to do pretty well.
Yeah, Lancashire always do well. I always remember as
Cornwall
a kid.
Cornwall do well.
Yeah, Newbury Rugby Club. I remember when Cornwall came and played. They used to cut every couple of years. We'd get a Berkshire game there, and quite often it'd be Cornwall, and they brought busloads of fans. Like
really,
and there was hundreds of Cornwall fans coming up from Cornwall for a game against Berkshire in the county championship.
Awesome.
It was
There's not enough county rugby, is there? I quite like the idea of that. I had
Cornwall thrashed Devon this week as well. Ben Jenkins on the Facebook Live.
So my only near taste of representative rugby was North Wales under 21s. I'm under 21. I'm sort of kind of trying to get into the first team at Colwyn Bay. Walking into the change room with my coach Mark Earle, who is going through his under 21 players to decide who he's going to put forward. And he turns around to me, he goes, "Jay," and I'm like, "Yes. Do you know any good under 21-year-olds?" And that was it. He never, ever got a sniff.
There's another game we have forgotten. The European Cup, is it the trophy or the Continental Shield, it was called. NSI beat Krasny Yar, and they won that and qualified for the Challenge Cup.
Well, hear me now.
That's like a third tier
competition.
Well,
yeah.
Hear me now, believe me later. I said that exactly that result would happen to NSI, so I'm happy to be proven
you
right again.
You did predict a victory over Krasny Yar. Well done.
Cheers, mate.
Any other business?
That will be it. Thank you.
Right. Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Right. We are done. Thank you for...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Listening, tell your mates, and we will see you on the next show. Program.
Program.
Show program.
Bye.